Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight we're going to talk about maintaining the fire of God in us. You know, God did a great work. He lit a fire on each, every one of us, born again believers, baptized with the Holy Ghost. All that God has done for us, we ought to be on fire. And I'll be the first one to be in line. I need to come up in this. Just like in the natural, you light a fire and that fire keeps to itself. Eventually, it's going to burn out. Unless someone adds fuel, wood to it, attend to that fire, maintain that fire. So just, it'll keep burning. We had a wood stove. We have a wood stove. And that's my job to keep that wood stove burning. If that wood stove goes out, it's a you problem. Joanne won't touch it. My job is to keep the wood burning, keep the fire burning, change light bulbs, and crush bugs. It's on my resume, and I am an expert at it. I can get a job anywhere. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 12. Pardon me, Revelations chapter 3. I'm off on my... Here we go. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Another well-known verse, but boy, I'll tell you what, it holds so true for today. It says, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out my mouth. You know, this is a strong warning. God does not like lukewarm service. That does not work for him. He wants this hot. And he's saying here that, so then verse 6, because you are lukewarm. See, that's something, lukewarm, have you been around a lukewarm, well, not lukewarm, but a smoky campfire? If something... I either have to get away from it or I have to do something about it. I usually have to do something about it because, you know, I'm there for a reason. So what you got to do, you got to work with it. You got to attend to it. Work with it. He's saying here, it's your responsibility. That's not God's responsibility. We have to take the responsibility of stirring ourselves up in His love. And not wait. Well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. No, we have to take the responsibility. Take action. It's up to us. Not to anyone else. But I remember, here again, I'm talking about a campfire. But when I was in my younger days, us boys, my brothers and cousins, would go camping. And when we go camping, we take it serious. And when we do a campfire, brother, that is hot. It'd be so hot. And now I'm not putting any mustard on this. Of course, a lot of those nights would be cool. But you get that campfire going and you get around it like this, then you go like this. Oh, that feels good, that warmth. Then you turn around, you know what's coming off? Smoke from the blue jeans. Not steam, because it's damp. It's hot. You're going, whoa, that's hot. That's how God wants us, hot. Yeah. When you're hot, you're moving. Yeah. Oh. In the spirit, saints, we are to be moving. We should be fervent. We should be fervent in spirit, aglow in the spirit. There's things to do. If we don't have the zeal and passion, is it going to get done? A lot of times, if we just, we'll get into flesh and we'll say, well, you know, someone else will do it. See, that's what the problem we had camping. Someone else will take care of that fire. And we fall asleep, no one took care of the fire. So what? Yeah, you wake up, now you have to start over. The lesson is, attend the fire. Don't depend on anyone else. You do it. Spiritually speaking, even in the natural, but spiritually, you got to do it. You cannot depend on anyone else. I can't depend on my wife. I just have to do it. I have to get into the Word of God, and I'm going to have to keep the fire going. See, that if we're waiting for someone else to do something, then that's really laziness. I don't be trying to belittle anyone, but I'm just saying, the flesh can get really lazy. So we got to make an effort to keep the fire inside of us burning hot. It's like an old saying I've heard years ago, flies don't land on a hot stove. And that is true. Amen. So let's get started. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. God started a fire. And we're going to just kind of see, the Old Testament, as you know, is filled with types and shadows. And let's just start reading here. It says in verse 12, Leviticus 6, verse 12, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest, you get this. Now God started. Now you can pick this up in Leviticus chapter 9. But God is doing something right here. It's a supernatural thing he's doing. Again, it's a type and shadow. Just like when you were born again, God did something to you supernatural. When you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's supernatural. God did something. So God did something. He started a fire, and now it says, and the priest, see, we're kings and priests. In the New Testament, listen to me, saints. In the New Testament, the believer is the king and priest. Now, you see the correlation here. And the priest, I'm just going to say it's us, shall burn the wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And it shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. That is the exact parallel what we have right now. God started something. He's not maintaining it. We have to maintain that fire, that zeal, that passion for the things of God. A passion to witness. A passion to go forth and just talk to your neighbor. It could be walking across the street. There should be a zeal. If we don't have that zeal, we need to check up. What, you know, I need to spend more. Usually it's a result of not spending time with Him. If we'll spend time with Him, there's a natural flow from His presence. First of all, there's a fullness of joy in His presence. You spend time with Him and it reflects. There's this an outflow that happens to us, saints. That's the reason why it's so important to take time every day. Look at this. Let's go back. This is an exact parallel. It says, in the fire on the altar, verse yeah, shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest, I want to focus on this. And the priest, you and I, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Every morning. Yep. Maintenance. Maintenance. You can't live off last year's fire. Those ashes, you got to take those things out. You can't depend on that. God expects us to keep the fire going and keep it hot. Verse 13 again. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. And I'm not getting on to anyone. I'm just saying there's always room. I'm the first one in line. I'm the first one. There's room. There's room for it. As long as we're on in this earth suit, this flesh, the flesh will always take an easy way out. We have to keep this body under. Tell it what to do. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Of course, Apostle Paul, Timothy had some issues, and Paul had to remind him. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now I'm going to read that verse 5 out of the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy 1, 5. Are you there? I remember, this is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. I remember your sincere, unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ with confident trust in His power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived in the heart of your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I'm confident that it's in you as well. Now, let me just back that up. It says in verse 5, I'm reading Amplified. It says, I remember your sincere and unqualified, or in other words, your pure faith, unflinched faith. This is what I want to get at. The surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ. It says a complete surrendering, not partial. And he goes on to say in verse 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flames of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's just like anything else. If we don't stir ourselves up, we will just settle to the bottom. That's just the way it is. I remember I was in elementary. Of course, I don't know what they do now, but chocolate milk was the thing to get. It come in these little cartons, you know. Pastor, you remember that? Well, I was in the third grade. You got to remember, when I'm in third grade, there's first, second, third in one room. So when I was in third grade, I was top dog. And I, you know, I hate to say it, but I really was really prideful, cocky. But anyway, I'd get that milk in my hand, and I would shake it. And I wanted the girls to notice what I was doing because I already thought I had it down pat. I would shake it, then I'd pound it in my palm a couple times. Then I would slam it down on the table. Then I would look around. Did you see that? I mean, that's pretty lame, right? I'm a piker, you know, what can you expect? But if we don't shake things up, things are just settled to the bottom. And what good is chocolate milk if it's not mixed up? Who wants to drink it? Who wants to drink lukewarm coffee? I mean, all these things are in parallel with the spiritual life. It says here, we are to stir up, verse 6. I remind you to stir up. I'm just going to read out a new King James. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. God has giftings and callings in each and every one of us. If we don't stir ourselves up in action, they'll just lay dormant. Stir up, fan in the flame. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a sound mind. Okay, Pastor Chuck, how are we going to do this? How are we going to stir up this gift, the gift and the callings of God? How are we going to do this? Well, first of all, you're going to have to do something. I'm not saying you have this, but in this case, there's going to have to be a resistance here. They're going to have to do something with that spirit of faith. Here's the question. How are you going to deal with the spirit of faith? How are you going to deal with the spirit of fear? Well, he tells you again in verse 5, you're going to do it by your pure faith, your sincere faith. So the very first thing Timothy has to take care of in order to stir himself, that spirit, that's got to go. You can't allow the spirit of fear to hang around, because what will it do? It will absolutely zap your strength. It will cause you to lose focus. And a number of other things, just like Peter when he starts walking out on the water, on the rhema word of Jesus. What happens? Fear entered in. What happened to the power of God's word? Non-effect. He begins to sink. We have to deal with the spirit of fear. And you're going to do it by faith. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, he's still talking about verse 6. Therefore, submit to God. Well, submit means surrender. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the very first thing is a complete surrender. In other words, you submit to God, not partial. This is a complete surrender. You submit to God. Why? Because you need grace, the power to resist the devil. And what happens? The devil flees. So the first key in stirring ourselves up is a complete surrender, a complete submission to God, to resist anything that's evil in your life. In this case, it's that spirit of fear. You can't let it hang around yourself, your temple, your body. It's got to go in order to stir yourself up, or else you're not going to do a whole lot. It's got to go. So the first step is a total submission, a complete surrender. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We're kind of going fast, but it's kind of fast paced here. But Romans chapter 12. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that who? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, who's the priest? You are. And what are you supposed to be doing? Putting your body on the altar. a complete surrender. In other words, a total submission to God. And you're doing this by your sincere faith. So we're looking at another key to stirring ourselves up. You can't allow your flesh to just do what it wants. You got to keep this body under. He says here, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It may start off as a one-time commitment, but this is a daily. Just like it was, we just read, every morning they tended to the fire. Every day, you're the priest, you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. This is a total surrender. Every single day. If you want the best of God, if you want the fire of God in you burning bright, you're going to present your whole body on that altar. Not partial, not parts of it, everything. The whole thing. I thought God would do something here. He gave you the fire. He gave you the power. There is no lack of power. The only thing we lack is we don't have the conditions right. So the first part of that is talking about a humble. You have to humble yourself and present your body. And what happens, it becomes a sacrifice. What does a sacrifice do? It's a sweet-smelling aroma that goes up to the Father. Anytime the Bible mentions sacrifice, there is a smell. Anytime you mention the fruit of the Spirit, you're talking about a smell that it gives off an odor, aroma that's pleasing to God. Have you ever cut open an orange? Grapes, lemons, they usually, most of them give off a sweet aroma. Our lives should be a sweet aroma, a sacrifice. It's constantly giving off. As long as you have your body on the altar, the problem is the body wants to get off the altar. Get back on there. It doesn't like it. So that's a key to keeping the fires burning in your life. You got to turn it over to Him. Get put on the altar. Another key. I'm giving you some keys to keeping the fire going. So you're going to offer your body as a sacrifice, just like the priest did. He put that wood on the altar and put things in order. You have to position your body on the altar. Get it in order, the whole thing, every day, the rest of your life, it should be there. And you attend to it every single day. You put it on the altar. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, saints, this is the fuel. We talked about you have to put your body on the altar. Now he's talking about the fuel. The fuel is the Word of God. So it goes on to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Now listen to this. Now, you're not going to be able to prove anything. I'm talking about God's will for your life if you're not in the Word. This Word is God's will. It is God's voice speaking to us. Well, I want exact details. First of all, you're going to get this. This is first. This is the written Word of God. The whole canon's right here. You're going to have to get this in order to find God's will. And he goes on to say, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. other words, that doesn't happen automatically. It's not by accident. Well, I just by accident. You purposely renew your mind. You purposely put your body on the altar. You got to get these both in line. Both these have to be done. To keep ourselves stirred up, I'm just telling you, this is what we have to do. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's surrendering ourselves to the Word, surrendering ourselves to the Word with the renewing of our mind. See, the spirit man, you notice it doesn't say anything about the spirit man?
Nope.
Nothing. Because God started that. He made you a living creation. Not you. You just accepted what He did. He did that. He did the work. Now you, He expects you to do your work. Present your body. How? By faith. Your sincere faith. Then He goes, another key, you are to renew the mind. That's the fuel for the more Word you have, the more Word you act on, the hotter the fire can be. How hot do you want to get? Spend more time in His presence. Spend more time in the Word. You'll get hotter, and how can you not? It's impossible spiritually not to get hotter. You're just in His presence. You carry that out. You go into His presence. You get His presence, the Holy Spirit on you, and you walk out of there. Now, I'm not saying we go by feelings. I'm not saying we walk by faith. And you're doing this all by faith. But all these things are keys that we should put in our lives. This daily routine, getting our flesh in line with the Word of God, constantly renewing our minds. So if you don't renew your mind, you're not going to go very far. I'm going to be honest with you. You're not going to be able to do, you won't be able to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You won't be able to know. You won't tell. You won't. You just be like anyone else. You may be saved, but you got to, the body is not saved. It's not saved. When you were born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, your body was the same beautiful thing it was before. Nothing changed. Your soul, it didn't change. You still have stinking thinking. Not a thing changed. God expects us to do our part. Our part is present our bodies and use the faith of the Son of God to do it. And use faith to renew our minds. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. See, so there is no shortcut. I wish there was a shortcut. There is no shortcut. We have to stir up what God has put in. We have to maintain that fire. It just won't happen. I just wish God would do something. He did. He started the whole thing. Now we are to continue on doing our part, or else it won't happen. And we'll miss out on the perfect will of God, what He's called you to do, those giftings and callings of God. Stir them up. Don't you want to know exactly what He's called you to do? Don't you want to do what He called you to do? You can know. He wants you to know. He's not hiding anything back. I love it. I mean, it's an adventure. Now, I'm not saying God will tell you every little thing. He tells you step by step. Step by step. It's little by little. Just like when they took the promised land. It wasn't all at once. It was little by little. It's a progression. It's not all at once. The renewing of the mind will continue on the rest of our lives on this earth. So this fanning, or the stirring up is ongoing. But we have to do it. We are the priest. We do it. Now turn with me. Actually, we may end up done pretty quick here. Jude chapter 1. You know, God does not want us to live on last year's fire. I mean, we could talk about the past revivals, the past, you know, and they're all great. We could learn a lot from past revivals. Hallelujah. And some of the mistakes they made and some things were great things. We could learn. But you really can't live off that. God has, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something new. Don't wait on God. Stir yourself up. There's just plenty of new things that you ain't walked in yet. In Jude, verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Verse 21, it says, now, verse 21, notice, he's not stopping. He's not changing subjects, right? So you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourselves. Now, God's not going to do this. He's saying that you keep yourself in what? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that interesting? God's not doing that. You have to do that. Well, how do you do that? By faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what he's talking about. Stirring yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Wow, I usually don't like doing that because I just get so boring. It's so dry. It's so, you know, praying. I don't know where that comes from. I think a lot of it's flesh. A lot of times we're using our own energy. I don't know. But you start praying. I'm talking about spirit, soul, and body. I'm talking about all three parts of you. You get one and you start praying as in the temple. You get everything. I know one thing. You're trying to pray in the Holy Spirit and you're thinking about McDonald's cheeseburger. That don't get it. You got to rein that in. I'm just serious. And it takes work. For me to rein in my mind. Now, Kenneth Hagin, he talks about this. It would take him, I think when he first started praying in the Spirit, it would take him 10 or 15, well, actually maybe more than that. Anyway, I think he said around 10, 15 minutes just to work on his mind, to get his mind pulled in without drifting like a kite. You pull it in and your spirit, your soul, and get everything in as one, because we're one with him in spirit. But your mind wants to do its own thing. You have to pull the mind in and make it do its work. And Kenneth Hagin said it would take him, used to take him like up to, I'm thinking around 15 minutes, 12, 15 minutes. But after a while, you could bring it in a lot quicker. Because you've been exercising. What? Because your body's on that altar. It's a complete surrender. And praying in the Spirit is a part of that complete surrender. What's the member that's hardest to tame? The tongue. Think about it. That's the reason why. When I pray, we have our devotions and stuff. Praying in the natural, I don't pray that much in the natural. Because I run out of things to pray about. You just have to flip on over to the Holy Spirit. Now, when I flip over to the Holy Spirit, now be patient with me. When I flip over to the Holy Spirit, it may take me 20 minutes. Sometimes I'm there about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I go, man, am I going to get this in line? It will. It will come in line, but you got to work on it. And you get it, and then time flies. I mean, an hour goes, and it's like, how can that be? 2 hours. You say that's impossible. No, it's not. That is normal. Don't think it's not normal. To be lost in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit for 2 hours, that is not That is a normal thing. That should be a normal thing for us. Getting lost in the spirit. Time doesn't even have a factor. You're just gone. Time's gone. Where'd it go to? Because your spirit man is in line now with God's spirit. Because you allowed the mind to be one. It's not flying around doing its thing. So it says here, praying in the Spirit keeps you in the stirring up, praying in the Spirit stirs up the love of God that's been put in you. In other words, that makes it fresh or afresh. The love of God, which God's already poured into our hearts, but you're stirring yourself up in His love. You see what I'm saying? It is a major key to drawing up and stirring up is praying in the Holy Spirit. If you can master that, saints, I'm telling you, that is a tremendous, I guarantee you'll have greater breakthroughs in areas you thought you could never break through. Your spirit man starts praying with the Holy Spirit, things start to happen. There's things you don't know how to pray about. Your natural mind's not even close. That's why we have to spend that time in the Word and in prayer. The Word is always first. We know, listen, just by the Word, we know that we should spend time praying in the Spirit. The Word gives us the guidelines. Hallelujah. Now turn with me, one last verse, and we're going to be done early, but this is the way it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Hallelujah. We stir ourselves up. We fan into flame the gift of God that He's put in us, the callings, the giftings. Romans 12, 11, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic. It says, Romans 12, 11, it says, never lag in zeal, but in earnest endeavor, get this, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Let me say it again. It says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. And now this has got the Spirit's capitalized, which makes a lot of sense. Be aglow and burning with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're cold. Saints, listen, you can remember, we are co-laborers with Him. We're working together. When you pray in the Spirit, He's the helper. The Holy Spirit's helping us. He's helping because we need help in our prayer. We don't know what to pray about. So keep aglow and burning with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is a daily thing. It's not why I did that. I did that right before Christmas. I remembered last year, the 23rd, right before Christmas. I mean, I got to do that every day. It's for your benefit to do it constantly. I think Wigglesworth said he wouldn't go. He didn't spend long period of times in prayer, but he wouldn't allow himself to go very long without praying. So there's a variety of things how you just got to do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. I don't know how he did that. It's like Kenneth Hagin. He would fast. He would call it a living fast. He just wouldn't eat as much. I don't know how you do that, but you just eat portions, and you refuse to eat a whole plate. I guess is what he called it, a living fast. But you got to do what God is urging you to. How to do it. But it says, I'm going to read this again. It said, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving Again, God doesn't want lukewarm service. He wants hot service. He wants us to be hot. Serving the Lord. Saints, listen, we can't be passionate about this. I mean, we can't be passive. It's not just going to happen. I'm just waiting for God to give me some zeal. I'm just waiting for God to give me some passion. I'm just waiting to be aglow and burning. Well, you're going to have to put the feel on a, you're going to have to put the wood on the, in the wood stove. You're going to have to fan in the flame. This all takes effort. Saints, we are not to be waiting on anyone, anything. We are to take the initiative and get the job done. So I'm giving you some keys how to stir yourself up. You got to present your body. First of all, you got, if you're dealing with the spirit of fear, you got to resist the devil. You got to resist that fear and it'll flee from you. But you're going to have to submit. You're going to put yourself on the altar, submit to God, present your body as a living sacrifice. See, that's a humble person. And renewing your mind, that's also a humble person because that's part of submitting. Because listen, you're not designed to live a victorious life by yourself. You can't do it. You're going to have help. And the more time we spend in His presence, the more time we spend our time praying in the Spirit, in the Word, what we're doing, you're stirring yourself up. You can't help it to be on fire. What you put in comes out. The Bible talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, if you don't put any Word in abundance, how in the world is it ever going to come out? And then we go, well, I don't understand why don't I got these, I got all these problems, all these things coming against. Well, we, as long as we live in this earth, we're going to have to deal with problems and persecutions and all this stuff. But Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled about it. So we have to let Him be our shepherd. That's a whole nother subject. Amen. It's not automatic. We have to stir up those embers, those hot. Don't live off yesterday's fire. Don't, you know, we go camping, man, we just keep it going. Just keep it going till Jesus comes back. It could, saints, I'll tell you why I'm looking for Jesus to come back. It could be tonight. Hallelujah. Go out of here in the rapture, the catching away. Leave this stuff behind. They can have it. We're moving on up. That's Jefferson said that, moving on up, yeah. Amen, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.